Hold it. The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
Four championships in the last 5 years. Yeah, I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden.
Welcome back to the Bay's Golden Days. Marcus Boucher, Harney Graywall here to bring you a special NBA playoff podcast preview. That's right, 82 games are in the book, and it's finally time for some meaningful basketball. It's playoff season, and boy, oh boy, do we have some great matchups. The Western Conference is highlighted between a battle of MVP contenders and Westbrook versus Harden, and then we got the Warriors and the Blazers in a playoff rematch, the Spurs and the Grizzlies in a playoff rematch. Match, while the Eastern Conference is just headlined by everybody trying to take the Kings' head off, trying to take the throne from LeBron James, Isaiah Thomas, and the Celtics. We're going to talk about all the contenders in the East and in the West, but this is the Bay's Golden Days, so of course, we're going to start it off with the Golden State Warriors, and man, oh man, have things changed since the last time we talked about the Warriors. Kevin Durant is back from injury, and they are ending the year on a strong note, and they are once again the number one seed in the Western Conference. Man, they had the best record in the NBA, and they're the first team ever to have 60-plus wins in three consecutive years. So you know what that means. The road to the finals has to go through the Oracle, and man, oh man, it should be roaring, and let's get it. Let's enter the Oracle.
In a large sphere called the Oracle lives a team of wondrous warriors. Blue and gold, magical creatures with tricks up their invisible sleeves. Throwing balls of fire and flying through the air, they play. Their sweeping swooshes cause buckets of rain to fall in pools. And the Oracle shakes with cheers. It's a sight that suspends belief. Enter the Oracle and see it for yourself.
Oh yes, it's time to enter the Oracle and join the Golden State Warriors as they start their journey towards a third straight NBA Finals. This Golden State team will be looking to win their second championship in the past 3 years here on the Bay's Golden Days. And hey man, the last time we talked, they were in a little bit of a skid. Kevin Durant went down. They were 2-4 in the first six games that Kevin Durant went down, and everybody was crying that the sky was falling, that they were going to fall the number one seed, that they were going to lose it. They were giving up 103 points per game. They were only scoring 98 points per game. What was going on? But then things turned around, just like we told you they would here on the Bay's Golden Days. And Klay Thompson magically signs a toaster, the toaster that started the whole winning streak. And coincidentally, they go on a 13-game winning streak without Kevin Durant, where they put up 115 points per game. They held opposing teams only 99 points per game, and their three-point percentage went up by 10%. In that comeback, Steph Curry just came back to that MVP form, got player of the week a couple times, averaging over 30 points. Him and Klay started to go off, and it looked like this was the Warriors team that we'd seen go back-to-back finals. So with that being said, Harney, what do you think about all these quote-unquote critics, these talking heads all over TV saying, hey, maybe the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant? I think it's absolutely crazy. How do you say you're better without a former MVP? But Kevin Durant, first game back, double-double. Looked like the Warriors caught him right in stride. But Harney, let me hear what you think on this topic.
All I have to say is that the media needed to fill time space without being able to talk about the Warriors being the villain with Kevin Durant being the full team. They needed to fill up some time space and keep them involved in the main media circle. And that's what it was. How are you going to tell me that the second best player in the league is going to come to your team and make you worse? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. No way in shape or form in any type of sports format has that ever happened where a player that caliber can come to a team and make them any type of way worse. This man is the second best player in the league. He can do everything. He can be defensively. He's 7 feet, long arms. Defensively, he was our leading rebounder, leading blocker, leading scorer, and his efficiency numbers were out of the roof, his best of his career. So you're going to tell me that that man coming in, stepping on the floor, is going to ruin chemistry, is going to hurt them? Get out of here. It's only going to open up the floor for everybody. Yes, it's not going to happen in the first game. It's been a while. They've gotten accustomed to playing with their roles as they have been in the past 2.5-3 weeks. And you get into a rhythm. It only takes 21 days to form a habit. So best believe, with him out, they formed a habit. But Kevin Durant is good enough and smart enough and unselfish enough to come in and put himself in a position where he's going to better the team. He understands that this team has been rolling without him, and he understands he's been watching every game from the bench as long as he can been, and ever since he's gotten on that bench, they have not stopped winning, which has been the best thing for him. And people say, oh, it's all because he went out and they needed a couple games. No, I believe it's because of the rest they took. They got that one game rest against the Spurs. I know Adam Silver came out after that because I know it hurts the fans and it hurts their TV deal that they have, which has given everybody these crazy salary cap numbers to spend on players. But at the end of the day, they know that they're about to make a run for the championship. They need that rest, a one-game rest. Get out of here. They needed that, and I understand just because of the television views and their business side of sports, because at the end of the day, it is a business. So you have to respect that, where Adam Silver is looking out for the league. At the end of the day, though, they needed a rest, and look what's happened ever since they got it. So I hate all that other stuff, because all the stuff that's coming out with Kevin Durant, and when they took the rest after that, it's shown that the rest proved worthy.
Yeah, the rest was definitely worthy. It was highly criticized, but we talked about it on the last podcast. This was the same stretch where the Warriors ran into trouble last year, even in that 73-win season. They went through a little rest. They got back in there, and look at Steph Curry now. Everybody talked about, oh, he's having a down year, blah, blah, blah. It's inconsistent, man. Well, hey, we saw his 0-for-10 games, and then we saw him come back and break the NBA record, hitting 13 threes. And I just think it's kind of ridiculous to say he's not having an MVP-type year. He's not having the same season that he was having before. Well, obviously, Kevin Durant comes to your team. That's MVP. He's obviously given up shots. So you might think the numbers might not be there. But let me tell you this. The two-time MVP, is he having a down year? Because he's got more points total than he did in his 2015 MVP season. He's shooting over 40% on three-pointers. He still leads the league in plus-minus for the third time in 4 seasons while leading the Warriors to the best record for the 3 straight years and the top scoring point differential for the same 3 years. He's also the only man to hit over 300 three-pointers back-to-back years. He's the only man to ever hit over 300 three-pointers. So I think this whole Steph Curry, he's washed up. All that overrated stuff, I think it was a bit overblown. Just like a lot of people were thinking, hey, the Warriors, they're falling apart. Now Kevin Durant's back. They're winning 14 games in a row. Kevin Durant comes back. It's a double-double. They seem like they get it right back on stride. What was the biggest thing that you saw besides Curry's consistently and just catching flyer that really turned around the season for the Warriors after that losing streak?
No, yeah, I absolutely hate that when people say that about Steph Curry. It's like, what did you expect? You expect him to still put up 35 a game? And people are just upset because he's not putting up the 50-point numbers. I'm sorry that his highest of the season high was only 42 and he matched it about 3 or 4 times. It's because he doesn't need to do as much. That's what people don't realize. He's doing it on the other end. He's getting more assists. He's getting more rebounds, which I honestly hate just because every time he goes up, I just get scared about that ankle. It's going to plague me no matter what, as long as he's on my team. And I kid you not, people need to stop worrying about his numbers and just watch how he plays. Yes, he had some inconsistency, but you have to understand that happened mostly once Kevin Durant went out and they started to focus more on him. It changes the entire game plan. It changes the entire way you run an offense and defense. And defense is what leads to our offense. This is what people don't realize. People think that, yeah, we are an amazing offensive team. But if you watch the games and you know basketball, you know that our defense translates into our offense to allow us to run out, run the fast break, and get these open buckets and the transition threes. Who would stop on our fast break at the three-point line if you're a defender? Who's the first person that you don't teach that? But we are the team that can expose that every goddamn time. Because we have Klay, Steph, and you add KD, who's not going to shoot three?
Exactly. When you got that many shooter, it's whoever's got the hot hand. And that's what the Warriors do. You don't see Steph putting up these godly triple-double numbers, but he's still putting up over 5-6 assists per game. And you know what the Warriors do as a team? They lead the NBA in team assists. Once again, they were the best in the league, hands down, and they joined the 1984-1985 Lakers as the only team in NBA history to record 30-plus assists in 50-plus games. So these guys know how to move the ball. And you want to talk about what Curry does without the ball? We talked about it before on our last podcast, how many times he sets a screen. He leads all point guards in off-ball movement, setting screens, getting his guys open, and he does so much. And when the Warriors are just playing on all chemistries like this, with Curry coming back and getting consistent, Klay's found his stroke now. I don't know if the toaster really had anything to do with it. Him and the whole entire bench, dare I say, is strength in numbers back because, yeah, the Warriors lost a lot of pieces in free agency, but we see JaVale McGee coming up big. We see David West, who is playing great. He's averaging like 6.5 assists per 36 minutes. He is moving the ball great, doing a lot what Andrew Bogut did as a big man, moving the ball a lot. And then you got the youngins, Ian Clark and Patrick McCaw, who have been just playing great and above levels, trying to replace what the Brazilian blur, Leandro Bolosa, was able to do for the Warriors. Hard knee. Can I say it? Is strength in numbers back?
I wouldn't want to say the same coin term because I hate just using the same thing as last year, especially when, you know, it didn't never always works out. So, but that's why I was got to say, like, I like using something new, but this is a completely different team. We have strength in numbers in so many different ways. But at the end of the day, I still believe in the ideal of strength in numbers. We have it from top to bottom. And David West has been the man that has not surprised me, but the way how quickly he's gotten himself adjusted and assimilated into this Warriors offense once Kevin Durant went out. Because at the beginning of the season, he was still finding his way, finding his role with the team. But now, the one thing that I've always valued about him that other people haven't, and now I'm finally seeing that he has better than Maurice Spates, because he's pretty much his counterpart. Where we got rid of Maurice, we brought him in. His passing. My God, how many open layups does he get for players when he's in that second unit? And I absolutely love it. Once Klay comes in as the only starter to come in at the start of the second quarter with him, he ends up getting so many great looks because of David West. And because David West, they have to respect his mid-range jumper. And not many four or fives who are playing him at that position will come out that far by the three-point line to guard him. And that opens up Klay's game so much more off these off-ball screens. As you were talking about Steph Curry. If you ever watch the Warriors, and I try to tell my buddy this all the time, because he's becoming an advocate of basketball, and I always tell him, I rarely watch the basketball as it's coming up the court. I rarely ever watch it. I watch the play that's happening around it. And if you ever watch the Warriors, their plays they run, you see them end up getting an easy shot, but you never see what they have to do to get those shots. As you said about Steph Curry and the off-ball screens, it is eloquent. It is beautiful the way they run their basketball. They run their plays so succinct, and that's when we are best. When they cut off the screens very hardly and they get the open shot and they know how to tear up a defense. There's no other team like us in the league, and it's going to be very hard to any team in the future to beat us 4 out of 7. That's the biggest thing. People think, well, yeah, the Warriors can lose. Of course, any team can lose, but that's the thing. You have to beat us 4 out of 7 times when you have to play 4 out of those 7 in Oracle. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. And that's the thing. We're talking about all this offense for the Warriors and all this ball movement and stuff. They're not only the number one efficient offense, they're right up there with number one efficient defense also.
They would still be if Durant was there the entire season. I guarantee those numbers would be historic.
Yeah, because Durant was being a great rim protector, like we talked about previously on our podcast, how he has evolved his game and becoming a big rim protector. And then you got Draymond Green, who was right up there, if not one of the favorite candidates for Defensive Player of the Year. He is the only player in NBA history with 500 assists, 500 rebounds, 150 blocks, and 100 steals in a single season. This is a man that's all over the ball on defense. We've seen his offensive scoring go down. Hell, we've seen him get a triple-double, almost quadruple-double, without even scoring 10 points. It's crazy what Draymond's been able to do, but he's first in defensive ratings, he's first in defensive win shares, and he leads the league in steals, and he's right up there with Rudy Gobert at the number one rim protector. This defense has been on another level.
See, that's what I hate when people talk about Draymond in a poor way, because they say that, oh, he's not as good as, like, I understand no matter what, his only comparison ever will be Kawhi, but it's stupid just because you only compare them on the defensive level, just because they are the top two in the league. But Kawhi is so different. He's such a different player. He's so dynamic. But Draymond, we ask him for one thing, and he does 4. We don't need him to score. We need him to be that defensive player that he is, get the boards, be strong, guard the best player every time. And then this is the most key that people don't realize. It's the intangible. He is our goddamn heartbeat. Without him, we don't give ourselves the motivation that we need. He is the one that brings the fans energy without needing the fans to chant. Because that's a whole nother story. I'm not even going to go into going to Warrior games anymore with all these fake fans there. I can't even stand it. I'm not even going to go into that because that's a whole nother podcast I can rant by myself. You don't even understand. But still, people just don't realize what he does. It's almost like when we had Bogut. Nobody understands what he does because it doesn't show up on the stat sheet. And that's what I hate, those stat nerds that just stand there and just hoard over stats and believe that everything is only about stats. And those are the people that can't explain to you how to break a 2-3 defense or the differences between a zone man or the different types of zones. And because all they know is numbers and all they know is DraftKings. As sad as it is to say, I hate it because it thinks it gives so many people like the right to speak on sports when they don't even understand the game. And you have to understand, a player is not meant to score every time he's on the court. He does everything else that, because we have Do we need another score? Do we need another score after Clay, Steph, and Durant? No, there's no reason, because those men can easily put up 90 points for you in one night. And 90 points in most nights can beat most of the teams in the NBA, sadly. And the defense he brings allows the other team to only score 75. So that's what I hate when people say, because they don't watch the games, they just read stats, and I hate it, because Draymond is invaluable. You cannot put a price on Draymond. He's the guy that you never want to face, but the guy you need on your team. He's the one that will end up winning us this championship, and you can mark my words, because that is the truth. No points will do it. We need defense wins championships. I'm always about that, because if the other team can't score, it doesn't matter how many points you put up. You put up any, you win.
Hey, no doubt about that. Defense wins championship, and Draymond Green is the epitome of that. When you've mentioned you've got two MVPs on your team, you've got Klay Thompson, who's one of the best, not the second best, three-point shooter in the league, right behind Steph in total three-pointers made. And then you've got sixth man of the year candidate, Andre Iguodala, who we barely even mentioned in his podcast so far, who I think has been doing absolutely amazing things, especially when Kevin Durant went down.
Amazing.
And then Draymond himself, a defensive player of the year. You just have all these weapons. They don't all have to put up MVP numbers. If they just do their part, I don't think anybody can stop them.
Exactly. You said it perfectly, Marcus. You nailed it right on the dot. Do your part. We don't need you to score. We just need you to do everything else. And I know that sounds terrible to say if we're asking it a lot too much for him, but he enjoys that. I know that Draymond wants to roll. And as you said, Andre Iguodala, remember he was our defensive anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody even looks at him like that anymore. And that's what's scary for our team, because to think with both them in the lineup where we actually run our death lineup with Kevin Durant, we've rarely seen it because we've rarely needed it. And when we see that in the playoffs, teams are going to be thrown off. When you can play Draymond or even put Kevin Durant at the four and Draymond at the five just to be muscle, that is going to be tough for any defense to deal with by stretching out that far around. We could have every guy around the perimeter. How would a defense do that? You're going to have to leave one guy in the paint? Good luck. Breaking down that defense will be simple.
Yeah, it's easy as that when you got that many weapons, and especially when the Warriors are playing this good, riding that winning streak into the playoffs, and man, it is perfect timing. And let's go ahead and talk about that first round matchup. The Golden State Warriors will be hosting the Portland Trail Blazers in the Oracle, just like the intro said, and this one should be interesting, because it always is. When you got Dame Lillard, the hometown kid, town business going to be in the building, Dollar Dame, and man, oh man, is he quietly putting on a second half MVP candidates. Dare I say, he's being very sneaky about it. He was quiet in the first half, didn't make the All-Star game, felt like he got snubbed once again.
Yep.
And that's what Dame Dollar does. He comes out, and since the All-Star break, he's averaging 29.7 points a game on 47% shooting and 41% from the three-point line. And he's coming off probably his hottest game of the year, where he just broke the Trailblazers' single-game record for points with 59 points against the Utah Jazz, where he shot 9 for 14 from three-point line.
In a must-win, too.
And had zero turnovers. Zero turnovers in a game we have 59 points. Man, this guy is high. And, man, things have changed up a little bit since they played the Warriors. I know they got swept during the regular season. But since the last loss to the Warriors, the Blazers are 17-5 since their last loss. But in those losses, they lost by a combined 78 points. So I think they got their hands full with this Warriors at this time and place. What do you think about this matchup between the Warriors and the Portland Trail Blazers?
I'm very ecstatic that we didn't end up getting the Denver Nuggets. As much as I love watching Dame play, but I just believe that this is a completely better matchup for the Warriors to get it done in four. As sad as to say, I never want to predict a sweep just because I don't want to be cocky. You have to respect your opponent or you're weakening yourself. And I truly believe that. And for me, I think this is a guard battle. They lost their bigs, lost Plumlee and stuff. So to me, that was their only strength against us to get it done in the inside. And I just don't believe that they have enough firepower on the outside. It's going to be the battle between CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard versus not even Steph Curry and Klay Thompson now. You have to add Kevin Durant. So that's like you're playing 2-on-3. So at the end of the day, I will take that all day. So I think that's going to be a very easy matchup. As much as I love Dame and I wish him all the success in the world, it's Bay's golden days whenever he balls out, you know? But at the end of the day, I just think it's going to be a very easy series for us. I think we're going to get it done in four. It's going to be this guard battle. And I think that we're going to end up being able to hit more threes and they're just not be able to outshoot us.
Yeah, all that offense, I just don't think they'll be able to stop them defensively. They don't got any rim protectors. We've seen injuries that they've had to deal with throughout the year. They don't even know if their starting center is going to be able to play in this series. Like I said, they've been playing great, but they're also a step down from last year. This isn't the same team we saw last year. We thought we would see this regression when LaMarcus Aldridge first left. It seems like we're seeing it this season now. I don't see him having too much of a chance. I want to give Dame Lillard maybe one game.
Yeah.
Maybe in Oakland, but I don't even think he'll do an Oracle. He might just have to do it at home. So I got the Warriors taking it in five.
No doubt. I know that kid's going to ball out. He always has been a baller since day one. But this is the playoffs, and when we came off that horrible defeat, this is still ringing in these guys' heads. And that's the thing. The only one that's not ringing in the head is the best player on that team, Kevin Durant. At the end of the day, that's what it's going to take to win. These guys know that they lost it last year in the worst fashion possible. So no matter what, they know that every game matters. And I don't think that we will see complacency as we've seen in the Warriors throughout this regular season. Even when they get a lead, they lose the game, and they become too content because they believe that they can end up scoring 30 in 10 minutes or like 5 minutes, because they can score 30 in 5 minutes. They can literally score 60 in 10 minutes. And that's the thing. But they need to remember that this is the playoffs. Every game matters. Let's play the least amount of games, not get an injury, especially not get Draymond any more technical fouls. Right. I know it resets, but this is four points, and you get a technical, and that counts flagrants and double flagrants. So that's the whole thing. This is not just only technicals. You have to factor in every single hard foul that comes in with the flagrants and the technicals to get up those 4 points. And we need to keep Draymond away from those numbers as much as we can. So the least amount of games we play and the least amount of intense games we play determine his emotions. And because if it's a close game, you know he's going to get pissed about a call and probably overreact. But if we're winning by big, he's going to be less likely to overreact because he's like, okay, this game's already over. But that's the thing. We need to be able to keep the lead and just show conviction in every single game and make sure that if we have the possibility to end the game in the middle of the third quarter, the end of third quarter, do it, because we cannot just rely on our second unit to keep that lead.
Yeah, I think the biggest enemy for the Warriors throughout this whole playoffs is going to be health. If they can stay healthy, I feel like they're just playing against themselves. They're their own biggest factor. 100%. There's not too many teams that can stop the Warriors, and it should be interesting. And I 100% think it's championship or bust. Who cares that they won 73 games last year when they lost the championship?
I resent the entire season.
Yeah, it doesn't matter at all. So it truly is championship or bust for this Golden State Warriors team with the addition of Kevin Durant and what they're playing at right now. I think there's very good odds if you want to take some money in Vegas and put it on the Warriors. And that's what we're going to be doing here on the Bay's Golden Days. But there are going to be a few other teams trying to stop the Warriors from advancing in that Western Conference. In that number two seat, surprise, surprise, it's the San Antonio Spurs. Greg Popovich did it once again and got him straight back to the number two seat. But there's no more Tim Duncan. He's gone. Now it's all Kawhi Leonard. Now Kawhi's got to take over, and he's quietly been putting on an MVP case for himself. The only thing is, I haven't seen him show up in too many big games, like when they lost to the Warriors in that huge comeback. Where was Kawhi? He'll have a chance to put on for himself as he gets to play the Memphis Grizzlies. This is a rematch of the playoffs last year where the Spurs swept them in four, but they did split the season series 2-2. One of my favorite things about this series is we're going to get the battle of the Gasol brothers.
Yeah.
We're going to see Mark and Gasol get to go at it. I'm rooting for the younger brother, but I think the older brother is going to take it as the Spurs swept them in the first round, like I said last year. 60 wins once again. They didn't do it three straight like the Warriors, but they've done it now in three of the past four seasons. Kawhi Leonard, like I said, quietly putting on that MVP case, taking over the tranquility throne from Timmy Duncan. He's got career high in points and assists this year. The Spurs, Grizzlies, it should be one hell of a series, but I'm thinking it's going to end up a lot like last year, and the Spurs might just be taking it.
No, I think the Spurs are definitely going to take it, but I don't think it's going to be an easy series for them. I think they're going to have to exert a lot of energy to get it done. Thank God they're not as old as they have been previous years. That's what the one thing that everybody said about them is that they're aged and they need the rest. They need to win every game they can. Kawhi is the leader of this team, and you know, this man is so special. I love this kid. But it's out of San Diego State, Cali boy, and I guess what? This man doesn't do it on one end. He does it on both ends. That's why, honestly, I would put him as MVP just because I'm not a stat nerd. I just don't. I'm a man that watches basketball and analyzes it in the sense of who is the best basketball player out there for their team. Without Kawhi Leonard, who is their best player? LaMarcus Aldridge? Not even Portland LaMarcus Aldridge. Yeah, I wouldn't even say that is his best player. Yeah, he's definitely not. I would still say Westbrook might even have a better team around him than a Kawhi Leonard. Besides the markets, who does he have? I hate it when people say Westbrook does not have a good team. I'm like, you might have the best big man duo possible from his subs and second unit and starters. I'm like, I hate that. And for them, I just think that Grizzlies have enough big man power to overpower. I think Mark will definitely play better than Powell. Just Powell's older. And Mark, I love Mark more.
Better. Mark's shooting threes
yeah,
now.
Mark, I've absolutely loved Mark from the beginning. And I just think that Mike Conley is going to be the key. Mike Conley has to control this offense and control the pace of the game, and he needs to be able to hit his three-pointers. I think it's going to go 4-2 Spurs, just because Spurs are very deadly at home. They're very hard to beat with that crowd. They get vivacious. They get crazy, and they love their team. They love their Spurs. That's always been it. And Popovich. You can never go against Popovich, especially in the first round. I think they're going to get it done, but best believe, I think they're going to have a lot of trouble when it starts ending up being big games all the time. They have to rely on Kawhi to get it done every single night. I just don't think Patty Mills, they're going to need Danny Green to come out big. He's been quiet all year. The biggest game he had was against the Warriors, only first quarter when we in that first stretch when we went down 23-3. After that, he was absent, and that's what he needs to be strong for them and be able to hit that outside jumper if they want to have any success to get make a deep run, especially see the Warriors in the finals.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a huge X factor for the Spurs is if they're going to be able to hit their shots, because whenever you play a team like the Memphis Grizzlies with all their size, you mentioned Marcus Saul and Zach Rudolph, two of the best big men in the league, and they play great defense. They're going to try to clamp down and try to block off everything in the paint. It's going to be interesting to see how he shoots, how Patty Mills shoots while he's coming in. He's playing great for Tony Parker. He's getting up there in age a little bit, but him and Manu Ginobili, you can never go wrong with the two OGs. I love the quote best from Greg Popovich. He said, "I'm going to use them like a bar of soap until there's nothing left." He's just going to keep on riding his players. And I think the Spurs will take this in five or six games. I think it might be competitive just because of the defense that the Grizzlies do play. But ultimately, they're the better team. And you mentioned it. They are truly the better coached team. And I just don't see Popovich getting knocked out in the first round to the Grizzlies. Nah, I don't see it happening.
Nah, definitely. I just think that Popovich's coach is going to get it done. And no matter what, even if you have a size differential, I just think that Popovich is smart enough to get it done and find your mismatch and exploit you in every way possible. He's always done that, and he's too smart. And at the end of the day, people don't really respect what coaching can do for a team. People really don't. They think that it's only the players. At the end of the day, yes, they're the ones playing the game, but they're not doing what they want to do. They're running an offense, and they're running a system that the coach implements, and that is the biggest key. And you know one thing they have more than any other team, which I wish the Warriors can learn from, because if we want to win in a decisive manner, we're going to have to follow the Spurs in only one way: discipline. That is what they have. How many times, besides the Warriors, but that any team can lose a lead against the Warriors, how many times have you seen the Spurs in the season lose a big lead? Never. Even with the talent they have, even their second unit is so disciplined to understand what their roles are. As you said, Marcus, I'm gonna reiterate it. Know your role. And that is one thing they do so amazing. And I believe that's where Steve Kerr has gotten that from. He learned from the best. He learned from Phil Jackson and Popovich. Won rings with both. And that is why we have such a fluent system to even replicate off them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The coaching plays in huge. A lot of people think that it's just a superstars league, but we see that Greg Popovich is not even doing it with the greatest athletes, but it doesn't matter if he's getting guys from Europe, if he's getting guys from the D-League. Greg Popovich is going to find a role for them, and if they do their role, they're going to succeed. And it's obvious that it's not just all about the players, because a great example is the LA Clippers, who are sitting in the fourth spot. They'll be taking on the Utah Jazz. Look at all the talent the Clippers have had for years. And just how many times they just lose, they choke, they're just overrated. And I just think it's so ironic that the San Diego Chargers are joining the Los Angeles Clippers when the Los Angeles Clippers used to be the San Diego Clippers. So it explains all the choking problems, and the two chokers are being reunited in L.A. But man, oh man, does it say something about Doc River that they keep on choking, or is it just all on the players? I know the Clippers, they're still in the fourth seed. It took three or four games from the Jazz this season, but they've been dealing with a ton of injuries. Chris Paul and Blake Griffin just can't seem to stay healthy, but they're playing their best basketball of the season right now against the Utah Jazz. Oh, going into the Utah Jazz matchup, it should be interesting. Rudy Gobert, he might win Defensive Player of the Year if Draymond Green doesn't win it. I think it's obviously between those two players. You can throw in Kawhi every year, obviously, and LeBron's also with his defense, but he's just holding down the rim like no other. And then you got young Gordon Hayward, the upcoming free agent, potentially one of the next superstars, and he is for sure probably going to get a max contract probably coming up this next free agency. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Jazz come out and play. And do I smell upset? I think it's very possible if they want to keep Gordon Hayward for the Jazz next year, they got to convince them that this is a playoff team for the future. And the Los Angeles Clippers, Los Angeles Chokers, there's two Los Angeles Chokers. You don't know if I'm talking football or basketball now. I might have to take the Utah Jazz in the series.
They brought in the doc for CPR, but he has done everything far from it. He has not stopped the choking. And at the end of the day, when they had the lead 3-1 last year against the Rockets and they lost it, you blame that on coaching. You cannot blame that on the players to lose three games straight. That is coaching and the way you are running your team at the end of the day. I'm sorry. But this year and at the end of the season, they've gotten healthy. They've been on a run. And honestly, they've been playing phenomenal basketball. Watching them, I'm like, they look amazing. They're running the way the best team that the Clippers can run right now. But at the end of the day, this is how their team has always been ran and always been functional. Blake Griffin. He is the key. Without him, they cannot run their offense. If he is hitting that mid-range jumper, it's over. I believe the Clippers are going to be able to take this in a sweep. But that's the thing. I just don't see him being consistent enough to do that the entire playoffs to end up winning it. That's why I don't think that – I think they might be able to get out of the first round. I think this would be a great series. This is the one I'm looking forward to the most out of any series because people underrate the Jazz just because the Jazz haven't been good in the recent years. Because
they play in Utah.
Exactly. Nobody cares about them, and they don't get much national coverage.
Yeah.
But I've watched this team. I've loved Gordon Hayward ever since he was at Butler, learning from Brad Stevens, the Celtics coach, who now have the number one seed. So you have to understand, this man has learned from the greatest, what people don't even believe. I put him up there just with Calipari's. I will put up Brad Stevens. That might be a long quote, but you need to look at this man's resume at the young years he's done it. This man is smart. He just knows how to run a team, and he's great with his players. I've never heard one bad thing about him. And Gordon Hayward is playing as if he's learned from him. He's still kept his smart, humble ways. He doesn't try to do too much, but he knows what to do for his team, and he knows how he needs to lead his team. And I love the Jazz. Not in the series. I just love what they're doing, and I think they're going to be great in the future. If they can get another person around Gordon Hayward to help him out with Gobert, I think they need a solid point guard to get everything flowing. But I just think the Clippers, the way they're playing right now, I think they're going to continue it just because Blake is feeling very confident right now. And when you have CP3, the smartest man in the NBA, I truly believe that. He's my favorite point guard. Yes, you heard that. I'm a Warriors fan, but still, my favorite point guard. I loved him since Wake Forest. He's the smartest man on the court because he knows how to run the game, and he's a true floor general. And without him, the team cannot run the way they do, and Blake Griffin can't get the open shots he can. But the X factor for me, for the Clippers, is J.J. Redick's shooting. Can he keep up that consistent three-point percentage? Because if he does, they're going to be a trouble for any team, not us, just because we can outshoot the lights out of anybody, and we've murdered them all year. They want to be a rival to us, but they can't because they can't win. But this team is good. We're going to have to play them in the second round if they end up winning. But if they ended up playing the Spurs, I believe they could end up beating the Spurs and end up meeting us in the finals. But I know that's not possible.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Clippers have so much talent. They got shooters. They got big men. They
all
got
around.
Chris Paul, one of the best two-way point guards in the entire league. They got all this talent. I mean, Austin Rivers is playing like he's not Doc Rivers' son anymore. Like he's an actual NBA talent. It's ridiculous to see what they're doing. But then you just in the back of your head, Los Angeles Chokers, will they choke? Is this going to happen to the Clippers? Man, I think this is going to be a great series. It truly is one of the offense versus defensive matchups. You got Rudy Gobert, like I said, Defensive Player of the Year candidate, and this Jazz defense as a whole, they're holding teams under 100 points per game, and the Clippers led by all these superstars. Man, oh man, this should be a great series, and I think it might come down to 7. Man, this is a toss-up really if you're betting, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see the Jazz with an upset, but I could also see the playoff experience, even though it might be bad for the Clippers. It still is playoff experience because Gordon Hayward's only been in the playoffs once in his career, and he got knocked out by the Spurs pretty damn quick. So I think the playoff experience does factor in for the Clippers.
As sad to say, I would love the Jazz to win this just because I think they like deserve it. As much as the Jazz have screwed the Warriors in previous years throughout our history, I just think that the Clippers are just running very well right now. They're as hot as the Warriors. Not on the same level of production, but they're still hot. They're the hottest they've been all season. And you don't... Momentum is a huge thing. What people don't realize, momentum is huge coming to the playoffs. If you have that run, you have that confidence in the entire team, running throughout the entire organization, top to bottom, even to your last player on your team, that is huge for confidence building. And at the end of the day, confidence, especially the only thing I think that is going to end up hurting them is just traveling to Utah. Utah's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
It's a very tough place to play. Even with, like, people don't even realize, they think only Denver with elevation. Utah has elevation as well. It changes up the way you play, the way you have to run your offense. And as you said, they've pulled up a lot of opponents underneath 100 points. And that's the thing. Defense is going to be the key. Both teams can put up points. We know that. Like Utah, not as much, but Gobert is going to be the X factor to me. And Rodney Hood, can he hit the threes? Can he end up scoring some points out of bounds? I think if Rodney Hood gets 15 points any game, they're going to end up winning that game against the Clippers. I just don't see him doing that. I just don't think he's that consistent. And I just see the Clippers winning in 6. I think they're going to lose the first 2 in Utah, but I think they're going to realize we have home court. Let's get it done in for game 5, and they're going to be like, this is elimination time. Let's get it done, and they're going to end up coming out and getting it done. But best believe, no game will be a blowout. Every game is going to be one worthy of watching. This is my favorite series out of all the playoffs.
Yeah, this is going to be one hell of a series, and it's up there with probably one of my favorite series in this playoffs, and I'm talking about the only one left in the Western Conference that we haven't talked about yet, and I don't know how we waited for it to talk last about the 2 MVP candidates. I'm talking about the Houston Rockets in the 3 seed taking on the number 6 OKC Thunder.
the KD-less Thunder, led by Russell Westbrook, who you know, I don't need to tell you, the triple-double king, man, oh man, what a season, eclipses Oscar Robertson's record with 42 triple-doubles. He did it in huge fashion the other night against the Nuggets when he dropped 50 points and hit a buzzer beater to get the win. Man, oh man, this competition for the MVP is going to be close between him and Harden, but here's the thing that kind of puts you down on Russell Westbrook. We talked about it before. He's got that 41% usage rate. He is a ball hog. That's more than the 38% usage rate by Kobe Bryant back in the day. No one else is doing it, but hey, who's really going to help Russell Westbrook? We've seen also he's kind of padded his stats, people are saying, getting these easy rebounds. But hey, I think he's done historic things, and it's crazy to compare him and James Harden, who on the other side is putting up historic numbers himself, if not right up there. But they're both 1-2 in turnovers in the league. So these guys aren't perfect players in the sense, but they're both putting up historic numbers at the same time. Obviously, the top two candidates for MVP, in my opinion, and those are the top two MVP candidates I gave you in our whole NBA season preview. So you know you got to be listening to the Bay's Golden Days at all time. But Harney, let me ask you, in this highly debated MVP conversation, I got some people saying Westbrook unanimous. I'm like, no, James Harden's going to get some votes. And then people saying Harden unanimous. What? That don't make no sense. Tell me, who is your MVP, Westbrook or Harden? Maybe it's neither, but out of the two, tell me, who do you got as MVP, and ultimately, who do you have winning the series?
At the end of the day, I still don't even believe that Steph Curry was unanimous last year, so I don't even agree with any unanimous MVPs. You're going to tell me that LeBron didn't get a vote, Kawhi didn't get a vote. That's bullshit. I don't believe that at all. I love Steph. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Warriors fan. But at the end of the day, unanimous? Come on. That's ridiculous, saying that LeBron or Kawhi did not get a vote the entire season, or Kevin Durant for the amazing season they had last year, or Russell Westbrook. So I don't believe that at all, and I just believe that it's where people are going to hate me, because I've heard so much different talk about this, and I've heard different perspectives, and none of them really counter what I'm thinking. I just believe that if you look at their stat line, I understand that he got that many triple-doubles. He's an amazing player. Don't get me wrong. He's a superstar. He's an amazing offensive player. And so is James Harden, but none of them do it on the defensive side. And that's one thing that you have to counterpart. You have to look at it as almost what are only these players doing on the offensive side, and which I hate, because I would give Kawhi Leonard my MVP vote. I would do it because he does it on both sides. And that team is not good enough to be the number two seed the way that team is built, but he has done it. He's hit a lot of big shots. Westbrook, field goal percentage, that's one thing for me. So if out of them two, if I had to choose one, it's definitely Harden. It's that thing you have to reward winning. You have to reward what he's done. Nobody expected them to be in this position. I know nobody expected the Thunder to do as well as it did, but the difference between a 3 seed and a 6 seed, and the disparity between a 3 and a 6, and what that ends up coming to. I know James Harden, I hate when people start telling me that he has a better team around him than Russell Westbrook. I ask how. I'm like, in what sense? Because I know that the Houston Rockets have no low post game.
In shooting, they got him.
Maybe that's one category. It's not his fault that the league has turned into a shooting league. It's like the NFL is becoming more of a passing league. Are you going to hurt Tom Brady's MVP stats just because he has better wide receivers than the better running back this other team has?
No,
exactly. That's the way I look at it. And Russell Westbrook, if you watch the games they play, this is what I'm saying. Don't take into stats. Just watch the game. If you watch both players play, I guarantee you the majority of the time you'd be like, what the hell is Westbrook doing? Because he ends up holding the ball till 12 or 11 seconds down the shot clock. He drives and then kicks to get that assist because he's deadly. You have to watch him no matter what. I understand that. But James Harden is acting like a true point guard. If Russell Westbrook won this award playing as the two guard, if he was putting up those stats as a two guard, I would give it to him 100%. But for how much he has the ball in his hands and how much he controls what his team does because he has no confidence in any of his teammates, that's why I don't give it to him. James Harden is a better team player than Russell Westbrook. That's why I give him my MVP vote.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say that James Harden is a better team player. And I think James Harden, if not the MVP, at least deserves the most improved player because his improvements just from shooting guard.
As crazy as that is
point
sound,
guard,
you know?
As crazy as they say, he's the most improved player. Steph almost did it in his back-to-back MVP campaigns. But James Harden just evolved into point guard and went from a guy who was known as a ball hog, didn't play no defense or didn't do anything. Still don't know about the defense.
Yeah.
But now he leads the league in assists. I mean, he has done incredible things. Everybody talks about the historic numbers of Russell Westbrook and the triple-double.
goals, but James Harden's combined total points, rebounds, and assists per game exceeds every MVP during the three-point era. He leads the league in win shares, assists, and points generated by assists. He is the lone all-star on a team that is one of the top 10 most efficient offenses of the three-point era, as the Rockets, like I said, broke the Warriors' three-point season record. So he's got all these shooters, so I think it does help a little bit on the kick and assists, easy points when you got knockdown shooters like that, and that's why he led the league in assists. And to me, it comes down to, I mean, both these guys had amazing seasons, historic seasons.
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt about
respect
it.
To both
either
of them.
Or, I mean, there could even be like the Kobe Bryant co-MVP thing, but I can get into that. But my biggest comparison, for me at least, is going to be the Mike Trout versus Miguel Cabrera MVP race, where Miggy was the Triple Crown winner, had the big title, but Mike Trout, by the deeper numbers, really did have the better season and was the better player. But just because Miguel Cabrera got the crown, got the triple crown, and got the title of something that's so historical and hasn't been done in so long, I think that put him over the edge and gave him the MVP. I think that might be the same thing in the Russell Westbrook case, where James Harden is putting up almost just historic numbers. But since Russell Westbrook's got the triple-double numbers, and it's so historic because no one's done it since Oscar Robertson, I think that you got to reward the historical aspect to it and give them the MVP.
See, there's no way of choosing a wrong winner at this point.
Exactly.
But I would just hate giving a co-MVP. I just believe that it's an individual award. True. It would ruin both their lives to give a co-MVP, because at the end of the day, you can't just share a. That's like getting a participation trophy at that point. You know what I mean? Because you don't. It's not solely to your name, so you can't have all respect. That's pointless. I think honestly, what they should do is judge it off the first round of the playoffs.
Why not? Why?
Whoever ends up, because sadly though, Russell Westbrook is a stat-hungry monster. You've seen it, and if you don't believe me, look at the past All-Star games. Even on Kobe's last All-Star game, he tried to get the MVP of the All-Star game, and that is stupid. That's one thing I love Russell Westbrook as a person. You have to understand, I love him as a person for what he's done, for what he does for his homies, his loyalty. As a player, I'm sorry, I absolutely hate the man. I cannot stand to play with him. That's why I think no big names will ever come to OKC, or they will have to pay them more money than they're worth to even get a player over there, because nobody wants to play with a man that's going to hold the ball 42% of the time. Nobody wants that, especially because no matter what, any player that comes to that team, he could be better than him. Kevin Durant could come back. He would still hold the ball 42% of the time, because no matter what, he has an ego. And that's the sad thing. And that's why I have to give it to James Harden, because he's more of a team player, and this is a team aspect.
I would say the exact same thing in regards to Russell Westbrook.
But it's hard beating history.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing about Russell Westbrook, it truly is sad that there probably won't be another talent that comes to OKC. Because if you really want to go back and look at it, one of the big reasons why James Harden left was because when they made the finals, he only took one shot in the first game because Russell Westbrook was holding on to the ball. James Harden was sixth man of the year. And you talk about all the talent they had on that young OKC team, and they never won a finals. James Harden ends up leaving. Kevin Durant ends up leaving. We don't know if it had to do with Russell Westbrook possessing the ball too much. It could have very well been. But he's now driven off two superstars who are two of the top three players in the league. Three top MVP candidates
for what?
In the league.
For what? For maybe getting an MVP award?
And to get an MVP award? I mean, I think that's really Russ's ceiling is the MVP award. As soon as Kevin Durant left, he knew, I got to go after this award. It's the only thing that's going to really redeem me in my eyes, because there are some people who said the Thunder weren't even going to make the playoffs after Kevin Durant
exactly.
left.
That's the difference. I believe that. I completely agree with you. I love that you said that. I believe that this is his ceiling. There's nothing higher than he can get, especially the way he plays. He needs to change his game, especially because I've heard the rumors that him trying to go to L.A., go back to his hometown.
Right.
Who would want to come there? I think Paul George or Blake Griffin, they're their top two prospects right now in the summer. I think they would be scared to come to LA if they knew that Russell Westbrook was going to be that face, because they know that no matter what, Russell Westbrook would end up being the face of that franchise.
Yeah, because Russ is going to take over. I love the way he plays and hate it at the same
time. It's amazing. He's unstoppable.
Because he is fearless, and he's going to play 100% all the time. You mentioned the All-Star game, Kobe's last game. He had the All-Star record for most three-pointers attempted and tried to make. This guy,
and he's
is
not
just
a three-point shooter.
He's not. Why is he doing this? But that's Russell Westbrook. He's going to go 100% nonstop. And I go back to what you'd say. I would love it if they included playoffs in the MVP discussion.
Yeah.
Because either if Russ or Harden win it and they get knocked out second round, don't lose to the Warriors, But LeBron James has a historic postseason. Everybody's going to be talking about LeBron James.
Exactly.
If Steph goes out, everybody's going to be talking about Steph. So I would love to see it. I don't know why they stopped it, because they're not even going to announce the MVP until after the season now. So that's dumb. So I would love to see how it plays out with this playoff series. What a matchup it's going to be. Westbrook versus Harden. I mentioned it. Rockets, the three-point shooting team, shooting more than the Warriors now. They have been huge with Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, and Lou Williams coming in and putting up some points. I think the big X factor in this series is going to be Patrick Beverley, because we know James Harden can't play no defense. So Patrick Beverley is going to be tasked with trying to stop Russell Westbrook. And Russell Westbrook's just got to be a bad man. He's going to need Victor Oladipo to hit some shots. He hit a game winner to end the season the other night. He's got his big men, Canthers and Adam. They still got the talent, and I think this is going to be a back and forth series that for sure has the potential to go seven games.
See, just for my end, as like you said, it is like the 3-point shooting. That is the biggest factor to me. I just think that Mike D'Antoni, who I believe deserves Coach of the Year, he has run this team so smart, and he understands that the changing game of the NBA, and he understands that it's become a three-point league, and if you want to compete with the best team in the NBA, everybody's Goliath, the Warriors, you have to be able to outshoot them. That's why they shoot more threes than the Warriors do. They hit the most threes ever, historically, this year, and they did that because they've set themselves up. Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson have been huge for them. But see, this is what I hate. People are like, oh, they have a better team. They have those two guys. I'm like, would you have said that before the season? No, you wouldn't have. That's where I said James Harden makes them better. Who has Russell Westbrook made better? Nobody. Oladipo has had probably his worst career ever. He cannot hit out the side shot for shit. He only gets lucky with them. That's what I'm saying.
The big men are sacrificing rebounds.
Exactly. I will take the 3-for-2 any day. Even though the Thunder got the biggest steal of the goddamn trade deadline. They got Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott for absolute shit.
Nada.
Absolute nothing, which I didn't understand what the Bulls are doing, losing any three-point shooter they have with Doug McDermott. I didn't understand that, and I believe the Thunder got better with that. They have a great coach. I love Billy Donovan. He's done amazing in college. He's done pretty goddamn well for himself with the hand that he's been dealt in the NBA. I just believe that Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets will be able to get it done in six just because they're going to outshoot the Lights. I think the Thunder and them, because the hostile crowd, they have their only single market. They have nothing else besides the Oklahoma Sooners. So I just know that they're going to end up, the crowd's going to end up being there, but they're not going to be chanting, cupcake, cupcake,
cupcake.
With him, Randy. And I just think the Rockets are going to get it done. I think Harden's going to be cooking that up until he has to meet us, little B.
Hey, I think it's possible the Rockets are one of the few contending teams in this series. But I haven't seen James Harden do it. Him and Dwight Howard used to always fall apart. Dwight Howard's gone now. They instead wanted to stick with Clint Capella, who's been one of the youngsters. He's been playing great defense, big man. But I just think Russell Westbrook in a win-or-go-home series, trying to get back to face KD and the Warriors, it's going to be a tough hill to climb. But, hey, if I would say to you, Russell Westbrook's going to need to average 50 points in a triple-double to win this series, you'd probably say, well, shit, he could probably do that.
Yeah,
so you never know with Russell Westbrook.
I
so
hope
for
he
that
doesn't
reason,
hear you say that,
yeah,
so he doesn't try for that.
Yeah, so for that reason alone, I am taking the Oklahoma City Thunders in seven games in what should be a hell of a series.
It will be no matter what. It's going to be a great series to see both MVP candidates go down to it. I just think that the team ball is going to end up winning against a single ball. I just think that Russell Westbrook is going to try to do too much, and that is going to hurt him. And I think James Harden is going to realize, I have these shooters on the outside of me. These guys can't hit threes on the other team, so I think that no matter what, it's going to be easier for them whenever they're down to gain the lead back. I just think that Adams and Canter is going to be the biggest X factor for them coming in off the bench, and if he produces double-double numbers that he's very likely possible, that guy can be a starter on most teams. If he can produce those double-double numbers and hit that mid-range, I think the Thunder are going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, the Thunder are
at least
tough
for
team.
The Rockets.
Yeah, no matter what happens, it should be a great series between the two top MVP candidates. Man, give them both the award, give them a co-MVP, do whatever you want, but we're going to see who is the better player and who leads their team better in this series as it caps off the exciting, what an intriguing first round of the Western Conference playoffs. But let's go ahead and look at the Eastern Conference playoffs, where surprise, surprise, it's not LeBron sitting in the number one seed. That's right. The Boston Celtics were able to dethrone LeBron James, at least from the number one seed in the East, as they take on the number eight seed, the Chicago Bulls. Isaiah Thomas, fourth quarter man, the man with ice in his veins. You know what time it is. Isaiah Thomas is having a historic season for the Boston Celtics. He is only the sixth Boston Celtic to score 2,000 points in a season, and he is having the highest scoring season from anybody under 5'11". Look at that little man go. But hey, he's also
probably one of the worst defenders in the league. But luckily for him, they have Bradley, they have Marcus Smart, and they got Al Horford, so he's got some pieces. This Boston Celtics team could cause some trouble in the playoffs. The Bulls are getting in on a late run. They lost a couple games, got gifted a game to get into the playoffs. We don't know, but any given night, there's Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler is having a career high in points, rebounds, assists, true shooting percentage, his PER, and his usage rate. I mean, Jimmy Butler can go off any night, so you got to watch out for that guy. And Dwayne Wade in the playoffs, you know playoff D-Wade has to come out. You just got to watch out for these Bulls. They're undefeated Thursday nights on TNT, so I think that might be one of the few games they win. I think Boston takes care of them. What do you think about Isaiah Thomas? Is it time for the Boston Celtics to finally make some noise in the Eastern Conference?
Once again, I have to say this, just because most people don't even realize it, just because they see the seed, they see the wins. If you look what Isaiah Thomas has around him, it's only young, undeveloped talent besides Al Horford, but this is Al Horford's latter years. He is not producing what he has done. So I would even put it this way. I understand how Isaiah Thomas isn't in the MVP conversation, but it's almost ridiculous how his name is not mentioned once. Like what he's done for this team to get them to number one seed that nobody believed they would be at.
Right.
Him and Brad Stevens, I think Brad Stevens is the only person in contention with Mike D'Antoni for Coach of the Year. This team has been amazing, and they have literally rode Isaiah Thomas, and he has carried this team in the fourth quarter to get it done, especially when they lost Avery Bradley for almost 20 games. This man stepped it up on the defensive side, not as much, just because he's under 5'11". How much can he do defensively to body anybody up? But he does it on the offensive side, and he does it in every other way to make his team better. That's what I love about players, especially somebody that doesn't have the physical attributes to get it done like a LeBron James or a Russell Westbrook. This man gets it done, and he does what he needs to do for his team, and he knows he's the leader, and he gets it done. I just think the Celtics are great. I think the only team that's going to ever have a chance of stopping them in this playoffs is going to be the Cavs. But one thing I'm so glad about the Cavs having is the number two seed, because best believe, one, the Celtics deserve it for how hard they played every single goddamn game. But the road has to go through Boston now for Cleveland.
Yeah, the road definitely has to go through Boston. Isaiah Thomas is at number one. A lot of people talking about an MVP in the first half of the season. It's kind of died off a little bit in the second half, but hey, he was able to eclipse the Cavaliers. They have been kind of falling down, if you want to call it that. They have been skidding out down the final stretch of the season, and Isaiah Thomas comes in and swoops the number one seed. And the one thing I love about Isaiah Thomas, he plays with a chip on his shoulder. He wasn't drafted by the Celtics. He's been bounced around from the Kings to the Suns. Like, he's damaged goods. Like, nobody wants him. Like, he's Rich Gannon coming to the Raiders and putting on an MVP type season. But this is a kid who's gone and done great things for the Celtics. And it's interesting because we see these other teams make trades, and everybody's like, oh, the Celtics got all these trade picks. They got to trade for somebody. But they stayed put, and look where it got them, the first seed in the East. And I see them winning this in five games, six games. And the only reason I'm giving the game to the Bulls is if they play Thursday night on TNT, that they record, cannot lose.
That record is honestly ridiculous, because even on the last TNT game, which I believe they should have lost, they ended up winning against the Celtics on that bullshit call on the elbow that it didn't get a foul call. And
lose.
So it's hilarious because, like, with a record like that, it's sadly you have to just go with it. You have to go with something like that, with the basketball gods just give you that. The TNT win. It's not every night.
Thursday
but if
night.
You're on TNT on Thursday night, you best believe that the smart bet is on the Bulls. It doesn't even matter if they're playing the Warriors. You have to just end up betting on them. You know,
take
the basketball gods with them.
Night.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I think that the Celtics are going to get this done in six. Probably even sooner, probably five. I just don't think that Jimmy Butler can carry this all the way, and I just don't think Dwayne Wade is still the old Dwayne Wade. I know that no matter what, when game time comes, he's still ready to show out on the big time stage. I just don't think they have the 3-point shooting to get it done. They have nobody on the outside to get it done whatsoever to provide Jimmy Butler help. And Jimmy Butler is not that good of a 3-point shooter to hit 5 or 6 in a game to get it done by himself. So I just think that overall, I think Isaiah Thomas is going to get it done. I think he's going to drop up his 30 the entire series.
Yeah, we've been saying it all year long. The Bulls don't got no shooters. They're bringing D-Wade and Rajon Rondo, and who'd they expect to shoot some threes? They trade away Doug McBucket, so I don't think they've got the offensive talent. Obviously, they're talented, but not enough with the Celtics to hang on an overall aspect. And the Boston already swept them 4-0 this year. We'll see if the Bulls can even extend that series to a 5-game or not. It should be interesting, but let's go ahead and talk about the number 2 seed we were just talking about. King LeBron James coming in that number 2 seed, as they have skirted quite a little bit down this last stretch, you want to call it, a whole second half of the NBA season. Ever since Kevin Love went down, everybody's complaining, oh, LeBron's resting, LeBron's not playing, LeBron's not doing nothing. Well, LeBron had a career high in minutes this year. So how does that really seem to play out? And he's also had a career high in rebounds, assists to go along with his 26.4 points per game. I mean, those are MVP type numbers also. He's almost averaging a triple-double, and he's really truly had to do it all himself. Of course, he's got Kyrie, but we mentioned with Kevin Love and his injury, he is back healthy now. But he has been just playing. I think he's played like 500 more minutes than anybody that was on his own roster. That's when I start to question Tyronn Lue. What kind of coaching decision is that? But man, they're going to have a tough matchup in the first round against the number 7 seed, the Indiana Pacers. The Cavs took 3 of 4 during the regular season, but they've lost 12 out of the past 21 games. And they're playing as one of the worst defensive teams in the league. They're ranked 2nd to last since the All-Star break, only to the Los Angeles Lakers. They haven't played any defense at all, and they haven't even won a road game against any of the Western Conference All-Star teams. Man, is LeBron skidding at the wrong time? Are the Cavs falling apart? I say probably not. I think they're still going to prove it. I think that rest is going to come in huge for LeBron James. PG-13, could this be his last games as a Pacers? I feel like if he loses, he's got a lot more leverage to leave because he knows he's not going to beat the Cavs anytime soon. But if he can win and upset the Cavs, man, that's going to be a lot better selling point for Larry Bird to re-sign him. The last time that they played, Paul George went off, had 43 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists, and a double overtime loss. But this should be one hell of a matchup. We got a superstar in Paul George going against LeBron and arguably one of the best big threes in the leagues with Kevin Love and Kyrie finally healthy. Even though they've played so bad down this final stretch, it's probably the biggest reason why I don't take LeBron's MVP candidacy seriously, because he's putting up career highs and assists and rebounds and doing all these great things, but their team is losing. I think this is the worst record that LeBron's had since 2007, 2008, and he's in the 2 seed. That doesn't happen too often. Harney, what do you see in this series between the Cleveland Cavs and the Indiana Pacers?
This is going to be definitely a good series. Every time LeBron has faced the Pacers, he's always had a little bit of trouble, because you want to know why? PG-13. That man is a tough boy. That kid knows how to play, and knows how to carry his team. That fool can score. But one thing he does, he D's up LeBron. That man can put up a body on LeBron and does not take anything. And I know LeBron gets frustrated. And guess who's backing it? The blowing ear boy, Lance Stevenson. You know he's gonna try to do something where LeBron's gonna start laughing. It's gonna be a big thing. I think no matter what, it's LeBron is LeBron in the playoffs. No matter what, I'll still always consider this man the best player on the planet. No matter how much he hurts the Warriors. That kid, the man is unstoppable. He's 6'8". Runs a 4-3, bigger than everybody, faster than everybody, and he has a higher vertical than everybody. He cannot be stopped. And guess what? This is what the worst thing about it is. He is smarter than a majority of people on the court, what people don't give him credit for. The man is good. The man is gifted. And those rest days are going to show when he gets in the playoffs, because he's about to give it 150% like he always does, because he understands the regular season don't mean shit to his legacy. Because at the end of the day, nobody's going to care about the stats he puts up, because that man should be winning MVP every year.
Yeah.
He should be winning MVP every year if the MVP vote really meant who's the most valuable person in the world, in the NBA, because that man truly is. Look at what the Cavs would be doing without him. I guarantee they're absolute crap. Even with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, they would still be worse than what the Thunder are, even with only Russell Westbrook. I promise you that. This man is going to get it done. He's going to get it done in 6, because I believe he doesn't have the firepower around it, and especially the consistency around him to get it done in 4. And at the 2nd seed, this is going to be crucial. This is going to be very crucial, because as a 2nd seed, he's 2-3 in the NBA Finals. I hate when people say, he's still one. Yeah, but he's had a harder road to get there, more minutes played, especially in a season where he's already had to play the most minutes, most exertion on his body. Now he's older. This is going to be huge, because that number 2 seed, it might not mean much to most people, but it means a lot to them, because that's going to be more games played, better teams played, and you're going to have to face the Toronto Raptors if you make it into the 2nd round. And that is going to be crucial, because what did they do last year? 7 games.
Exactly.
And that is going to be a lot more mileage put on him, especially because he's going to be traveling a lot more.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I think you said it perfectly. LeBron James and his rest should show in this playoff stretch. But the 2nd seed, I think it's huge, because now you got to play the Pacers, who's got a legit superstar in Paul George. Then you mentioned it. Now you got to go through both the Raptors, potentially, and the Celtics if they win their series. The road definitely is tougher. LeBron James been crying for some more superstars this season. He'll see if he can get any more help from Kevin Love getting healthy. Kyrie should show up. This is still one of the best rosters in the NBA. If
if LeBron James can't get it done and can't beat the Pacers, I don't know how many more superstars you're going to need to add to this team. You're the MVP. You got to buck up and play. So I like the Cavaliers taking it in five or six games. They have the talent to win in four games, but I'm right there with you. I think five or six, and I think the big reason is their defense. They can't seem to stop anybody, and if Paul George is going to be going off, I think they can win a couple games, and I think it's going to play a big factor extending the series and putting the extra mileage on LeBron James.
No, definitely. I just think that LeBron is good enough to get it done himself. I just don't believe that it's going to be a sweep. There's no way. I just really don't believe it, especially because Indiana has a hostility in that crowd, especially just toward LeBron James for what he's done in his career to them and their organization. I just believe that Paul George and them will get it done because they have better two-guard play. I just don't think that J.R. Smith is going to be consistent enough. That man will either go 0 for 8 or 8 for 8, and that's, you just can't hope on that every night because it's either one or the other, and no matter what, one thing that doesn't change, he didn't stop shooting, no matter what. He could be over eight, but he'll still keep shooting. And that's the thing, because he believes his mentality is almost as if a Stephen Curry in a shooter. And that is scary in both senses. It's scary for the Cavs because he's going to keep shooting, but it's also scary for any other opponent because, you know, that man also once stated the most ridiculous comment, but this is how he runs his game. He'd rather be guarded to shoot a shot.
Yeah.
And it shows when he's guarded, yeah, he somehow drills every single one. He'd rather have a hand in his face. And it just is, I just don't get it, but that's just the way he plays. That's his body embodiment of how he is as a player. That's his confidence that builds him. So that's one thing. I might as well just leave that fool open every shot, and I guarantee the Pacers might win that series.
Right. Eric could play some defense on JR. He is one odd character, but if he's hitting their shots, that offense is deadly. And then you throw in newly acquired Kyle Korver. If he's hitting his threes, this offense is on top. And they're a lot like the Warriors. They just got to stay healthy. Of course, they don't got the defensive prowess that the Warriors have, but right there offensively, they're one of the top talents in the team. But this is going to be interesting now. LeBron James in that number two seed. It should be a rough road through this playoffs, probably harder than it's been the past couple years for him. But it'd be interesting to see if he has to go now through the Raptors and the Celtics. Let's go ahead and look at that Raptors matchup. They're sitting in the number three seed against the Milwaukee Bucks. Toronto took 3 out of 4 during the regular season, and the Raptors are looking pretty nice right now. They didn't win as many games last year, but I actually think they're a better team than they were than the last two seed last year. And I think a big reason is Serge Ibaka. He brings a lot of size, a lot of defense to that team. But they got to go against a freak, the Greek freak himself, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He has just been an animal this year. He's got to be one of the lead candidates for most improved players. He has now clinched first place in all five major statistical categories for the Bucks, becoming the fifth player in NBA history to do that with one franchise. And he's the first player in league history to finish in the top 20 in total points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. The Greek freak can do it all, and he should have his handful with the Toronto Raptors, with DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry coming back from injury. This should be another great series. Harnis, what are your thoughts for the Raptors and the Bucks?
Man, I love me some Giannis. I absolutely love that Antetokounmpo. Man, this kid is unstoppable. He is a European player that we have never seen before. With that length, with that height, and with that point guard ability to play as a 6'9 guard, and his defense, he will hustle harder than anybody on that team. It is very rare when you see the best player on a shitty team, because not everybody's trying to earn their contract, but when you see a guy like that put that much motivation and that much will into his play on both ends of the game, that's when you know he's a superstar. That's why he ended up being in the All-Star game, and that's why he made some spectacular plays in the All-Star game. He was the only one playing defense. He's the only one I saw run back on a block for a dunk. Usually you give that up, but I love that man. I think they're going to be great in the future. He's a great player to build around. But I'm sorry, you're playing the Raptors, and I agree with you. The best pickup of the entire season, offseason or trade deadline, is Serge Ibaka.
Blocker.
They needed a big man. They needed somebody to control that paint better with Jonas. Jonas Valanciunas can only do so much. He can get you about 10 boards a game. He can score for you, but you need a little help to make it easier, especially in the paint, because you got the duo outside. You got the backcourt game solid. DeMar DeRozan is putting up career numbers, shooting lights out, almost averaging 30 a game. That man has been crazy, especially in the clutch. Kyle Lowry having those extended minutes out with that wrist injury, getting the surgery. He's coming back. He's getting himself back in, and the Raptors have been winning. That time off, I think, allowed Kyle Lowry to watch and learn how his team plays, and he's smart enough and unselfish enough to come in and come and join the group and realize what he needs to do to win. Have you seen? He's not been scoring as much in these past couple games. He's been watching the offense, and he has been delivering the right plays. And I believe the Raptors will give a better run for the money to the Cavs than the Celtics will, just because that low post presence of Serge Ibaka. If you don't remember, in the previous finals when the Cavs faced the Thunder, the only person to cause the Heat trouble when LeBron was out there was Serge Ibaka, because he does it in every way. He does it in the down low, in the post, hustles, and he's adapted. He's brought in the three-point game into his arsenal. It's not perfect, but if that man has the potential of shooting that, you have to defend it, and you have to respect it. And what can that do? He's quick enough to get you down on the body, especially on a four guard. Kevin Love's outside defense can be exposed very easily. I think the Raptors will win this series easily, but I think the series that they have to really worry about is the Cavs, and I could see that going to seven. That will be the decider. I think that whoever wins that series in the second series will end up going to the finals against the Warriors.
Yeah, that could be in our future. This should be a great series between the Raptors and Bucks. You mentioned it. Greek Freak is just one hell of a player, and I love watching that kid play, but they lost Jabari Parker with an injury in the beginning of the year, and I just think the Toronto Raptors are a better overall talent, like you say. With Serge Ibaka on that team, it seems like they're really meshing on all pieces now. They got offense, they got defense, they can do it all. And like you said, if they get to that matchup between the Raptors and the Cavs to play the Celtics just to go to the finals, that could be one hell of a series. But you know, we can't get to that yet because we got to worry about first round playoffs, who's going to make it. But you know, the Bay's Golden Day is going to be back to cover everything from the second round. Warriors win or lose, we're taking the win, of course. But let's go ahead and wrap it up real quick. In the Eastern Conference, we got the Celtics advancing to go against the Wizards and the Cavaliers advancing to go on against the Raptors. And in the Western Conference, I got the Thunder and the Spurs. My man Harneet got the Rockets and the Spurs. But we both have come to agreement that we're going to see Clippers versus the Warriors. The road has got to go through Oracle, and the road's got to go through Boston. So we'll see what two teams will meet in the finals. Who's going to make the conference finals? Who's going to pull up and put out and be the playoff MVP? Screw the regular season MVP race. I want to see who shows up, and you know Bay's Golden Days is going to come back to cover it all. Yes, sir. You know you can follow the Bay's Golden Days on Instagram and Twitter at Bay's Golden Days to keep up with all of our latest news. We are on iTunes and SoundCloud and Google Play. We're on every single podcast media outlet there is. Thank you for following us. Thank you for downloading and subscribing. The Bay's Golden Days got a bunch of content coming up. The MLB season has officially started. The Giants are winning, losing, still really can't really close the game. And then we got all the news from the Raiders and the Niners, the new coach, the new GM in Santa Clara, and the Raiders packing up and leaving to Vegas. We got two more years here in Oakland, and you know we're going to bring you the draft coming up in 2 weeks. And then we got the San Jose Sharks putting on for the Bay right now. Oh, man, it's the Bay's Golden Days. We're going to break down everything for you, every sport, every week, every time. Let's go.
And Bay's don't Golden Days. Forget it.